Welcome to the Camp Constitution Report with your host, Hal Shurtleff. I am the director and co-founder of Camp Constitution, and I'm here with my co-host and brother from another mother, Reverend Stevie Kraft. How are you doing, Rev?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Yeah, you, my brother, showing up from another mother.
All right, and Rev and I go back, I don't know, what, 15 years, Rev? And I've got a guest. I always say a special guest, but all our guests are special. But a little background, I was watching Newsmax a couple of weeks ago, and this fellow Vince Ellison was talking about a book he had just written, 25 Lies, and let me just read, I don't want to get exposing Democrats' most dangerous, damnable, and destructive lies. And I said, this guy's solid. And then I heard him on Fox News like the next day. Then I hear him on a local radio station. I said, we got to get to know this guy. So I went to Reverend Kraft. I said, Rev, have you heard of this guy, Vince Ellison? No, man. He went right on his computer and looked up the book. And he bought both books, The Iron Triangle and the 25 Damnable Lies. So we're very pleased and honored to have him on the show. How are you doing, Vince?
I'm doing great, brother. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I love it. So tell us a little bit about your background. I actually confess, I only read 50 pages of your book so far. In fact, I was at Rev's house last night, spent the night there, and I read 50 pages and went to sleep. I says, well, I'm going to be buying this book, in fact, both books. So tell us a little bit about your background and then what got you to be where you are today.
Well, I'm happy to be with my good friend, Reverend Stephen Kraft. He's a lion, isn't he? That's really out there for God, that's doing great work. So, Reverend Stephen Kraft, God bless you, and thank you for all that you're doing.
Hey, man. Well, I was
born on a cotton plantation in Haywood County, Tennessee. My father was a sharecropper, and you know, he was poor. I was a third child, and you know, it was a Jim Crow South, and my father was plowing mules, planting cotton. And he aspired. He wanted to do better. And so he got involved in the insurance industry, started selling insurance, and he started his own insurance agency, and he pulled us out of poverty. And we lived an upper middle class life, and I my seven siblings went to college. And after college, I started working in the prison system in South Carolina. I was a correctional officer. And I started seeing all these young men going to jail. See, I thought we had overcome, like I had overcome, but we hadn't. This was during the 90s, during the Clinton-Biden crime bill. And I saw all these young men being locked up, and I started asking the question, you know, what's going on, what's happening? And of course, the black intelligentsia told me it was those evil, rich, white Republicans who was doing all this. So I resigned my post, went down to the ghetto to try to help some of these brothers, keep from locking them up, to try to keep them free, come to find out something pretty interesting. When I got down there, I saw a whole lot of, I didn't see any white Republicans. You see a unicorn before you saw one. I saw a bunch of black Democrats though. And it was these three entities making a lot of money off the chaos. The black preacher, the black politician, and the black civic organizer. And I wrote my first book about them. I called them the Iron Triangle. And after that, I ran for Congress against Clyburn, Jim Clyburn in South Carolina. Didn't win that race. But I decided to get involved. And my last book I just wrote, 25 Lies, is a continuation of trying to ring the alarm and tell the American people exactly what's going on in America. And I'm trying to fight, trying to help to heal this schism between black and white Christians, because this is how they defeat us. They defeat us because we are not unified. They defeat us because we're fighting one another. And if God's children ever stand together, will change this nation and will change the world for the good.
I think in your book, you made reference to the fact that if only 20% or maybe 30% of black Americans started voting Republican, that the Democrats would lose their grip on this country.
Oh yeah, it would be solidly gone. And that's why the Democrats have invented this Iron Triangle. They will do anything, hook or back crook, to keep black people under control, just like slavery. I mean, they started the Civil War, killed 800,000 Americans so they could keep black people under control. Look, the Democrat Party is the evilest institution that's ever existed on the face of this earth. Since their inception in 1800, they've been a part of slavery, from 1800 to 1860, the party of the Confederacy from 1860 to 1865, the party of Jim Crow, 100 years, extra-constitutionalism, murder, rape, castration, 100 years. And then after Jim Crow, they became the party of abortion, the party of socialism, the party of transgenderism, part of atheism. So they've done nothing but try to destroy this country since their inception, and it's time for us to treat them as they are, an evil institution that needs to be reformed or eradicated.
Let's cover some of the lies. We don't have enough time to cover all 25 lies you put in the book, but give us a few you think of the most damnable lies or the most destructive lies that affect the Black community when it comes to public policy in this country.
Well, the very first one is God will not hold you accountable. See, that's what they tell us. And we're going through that right now when we're looking at this abortion debate. They're telling these young girls that you can abort your child, that you can take a human life, and that that human life is nothing, and that you won't be held accountable for it. Well, I'm telling you that we know that you have to repent. And if you repent, God will forgive every one of your sins. But repentance is necessary. So if you vote for a politician, and this politician is telling you that I am going to use your vote and my power to kill innocent children, I'm going to use my power to castrate little boys and call them little girls, cut off the breasts of little girls and call them little boys. If they tell you that I'm going to use my power to restrict religious liberties, to disarm American citizens, and to foment sex trafficking and drug trafficking across the border, you're going to be held responsible about it for it by God. That's the number one lie that we always have to understand, that we are going to be responsible, be held responsible for everything we do and everything that we say.
Well, it's interesting. I'm sure you're familiar with the racist history of Planned Parenthood. And it was a few years ago that Reverend Steve and I went across the street of the home of the late Clarence Gamble, Dr. Clarence Gamble, the head of the Eugenics Society, who lived in Milton, Massachusetts, which abuts Boston. And Rev read the infamous letter written by Margaret Sanger to Dr. Gamble announcing what they called the Negro Project and how they will be using members of clergy and Black members of the Black doctors to promote birth control. And in the letter, she said, we don't want word to get out amongst the more rebellious Negroes that we wish to exterminate them. And it was it was interesting because George H.W. Bush was born about five doors away. His dad, Prescott, was the first treasurer of Planned Parenthood. So I went to the Harvard Library papers, and I spent about $500. Anyway, I spent about 4 or 5 hours looking over the papers, and I actually held that letter. It was a note of 3 pages. And so many Black Democrats, almost I think every single Black member of Congress, member of Planned Parenthood, or a big supporter of Planned Parenthood. How do we get the word out to them that they're your enemy?
Yeah, that's the thing. And right now, see, we finally got the opportunity through social media, through getting an opportunity for people like me and Stephen Kraft and other people to come together, to coalesce, and hit with one giant fist. This is why I'm working so hard to try to get the think tank started down at Liberty University. Because if we ever come together, if Black conservatives, Black Christians, white conservatives, and white Christians ever come together under one common umbrella, we will break them. But they know that also. So first of all, I write my books. Second of all, I come on talk shows like yours. I go, like you said, on Newsmax, on Fox News. I partner with people like you and Reverend Kraft, and we just have to keep grinding. See, I believe that if God gives you a vision, He will open all the doors. You don't have to kick them in. You don't have to scream. You don't have to yell. He made sure that I met you. He made sure that I met Reverend Kraft. He's going to make sure that we meet the people that are going to open the doors. Your Supreme Court case was a complete miracle. You went up there with David. You took on Goliath. You knocked him out. These things are coming to your head. The left has revealed who they are. They used to lie. You, me, and Dr. Crabb got a little age on us now. We remember when they would never admit to what they're doing right now. They would never admit that they were up to that they support abortion up to the ninth month. They would never have admitted that they would use the public educational system to teach little boys they were little girls. Little girls they were little boys. Teach white people they were oppressors and black people that they were oppressed. They would never admit to it, but they're admitting to it now. There's no coming back from this. The mask has come off. They have exposed their glass jaw, and we're going to knock them out.
Well, you mentioned one of the issues that's important to me, of course, they're all important to me. The pro-life, I think, is fundamental, because if Reverend Kraft says, if you're born dead, you're dead. There's nothing else there. Well, Rev, you've read both books. You have any comments on any questions to ask Keith about what you read, or to amplify some of the things?
Well, what I want to mention to Vince, I just thought about it. I want you, Vince, to give me a call and let me know what a case of both of the books, 25 Lies and Orange Triangle, what that would run, because I'm going to make an investment in that, start passing them out up here in New England. Me and Hal can start moving those two books, but I need a bulk figure for a case of those books. That's one thing. Second thing is, Hallie knows, and I think you know, Vince, I think I mentioned to you, after you wrote the draft for Dr. Bratt, and once we get down there and have that sit down with him and the president of Liberty, Hal, hope he can go with us, we have to get a motorhome. Because what you wrote in your draft is simply this. We got to take this thing on the road. We have to take it on the road. We have to take this thing on the road. And we get that motorhome. Yes, it's going to be a big expense. But the fact being, and Vince, you shared it with me just a couple of days ago, we can't be every time we got to go somewhere to spread this message, got to worry about plane tickets and all that and all that nonsense. No, we need a motorhome. And I'm believing God that somebody is going to either donate a good one, or we're going to get the funds to buy a brand new one. I'm adamant about that. I'm not backing up off of that. I don't care what the expense is. We have to have that motorhome so that we can take this thing on the road, starting in New England, and then going out to other states to take this message forth. So what we can do right now while we're waiting on that motorhome is you get back with me, Vinny, on a price where our church can invest in a case of 25 Lives and Orange Triangle. Because, see, this Orange Triangle thing, I just got done reading. I just finished Orange Triangle just yesterday. And this triangle of black false preachers and black false politicians and black false civil rights workers, that's the key that has to be broken, because our people were ignorant to this. We really don't know this. And I mentioned to Hal, because me and Hal was together this morning, I mentioned to Hal, if we bust just, man, one half or one third of that Orange Triangle that has our people bound in the Democrat Party, boom, it's ball game. The fight is over. And the wicked Democrats know that. So we gotta take this ministry on the road. And if we do that faithfully, boom, God will give us the victory, just like he gave me and Hal. I'm the chaplain for Camp Constitution. Just like he gave us the victory last week with a 9-0, he'll give us the victory. As Moses said, let my people go, Pharaoh, that they may serve the true and living God.
I agree 100%, Reverend. I'm going to get back to you with that. But just like you and Harold, you are two bold men. And your boldness had to take this case already to the Supreme Court after the lower courts had ruled in the favor of Boston. You still said no. God needs that boldness. And right now, Christians, too many Christians have lost it. We're very docile. We're very afraid. We're very tolerant. And we need to stand like Joshua stood when he said, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, I believe they call it toxic masculinity. No, I call it Christian masculinity. I don't believe that Christians are supposed to be, you know, as you and I talked about, Reverend, Christianity is a non-violent religion. It is a non-aggressive religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That means that if you and I and Harold are walking down the street and we see a woman getting raped and accosted, we don't say we're three Christian men, we can't do anything. No, we go grab that guy. When he stop fighting, mm-hmm. we stop whooping him and holding for the police. Mm-hmm. That's what Christian men do. Mm-hmm. But instead, they put a lie into the culture that said that when you become a Christian man, you're supposed to be castrated. Mm-hmm. That you're not supposed to protect yourself, your wife, your children, your property. No, we have to start speaking to that. And we have to start standing up as men again. And we have to tell the truth. The truth is, no, God made them man and woman. And he said that what I make is good. So therefore, when man look at these children, and we're all fathers, you have to raise your children. And when a boy and a girl are being reared, you tell them who they are. They don't tell you. You tell them. And we have to start speaking truth again and not being afraid of it. So now I'm a person that wrote two books. I put my face on both of them. I'm not afraid of any man on this earth. And like I said on Laura Ingraham, and I said on Tucker Carlson, if anybody come to me and try to hurt me or mine, I got two things going to get you off me. Jesus and my 38. Come try me.
Come on.
I got 380 and a couple of ARs, so that's what I'll be using. But you mentioned about the emasculation. How the culture is emasculated to man, and it's all like in the black community. It's not just in the black community, the white community as well. The sitcoms all have the male figures as weaklings and cowards or idiots, laughable, not respected by the children or what have you. And there's no question that it's a deliberate attempt not only to dumb us down mentally, but also physically and spiritually as well.
You're so correct, Harold. I mean, you know, one of the things that I bring home in my book is that they want to always make you a victim. And they always want to throw this stuff at you, screaming white supremacy, black inferiority. I tell them, I'm an heir of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
No one is superior to me.
That's right.
And when you tell someone that and you say, this is true Christianity, if you are true, a true Christian, you don't walk around here being inferior. What you do is you see brothers and sisters and we elevate each other. We find out what our gifts are and we help each other elevate our gifts. Because when everybody is good at what God has placed in their heart, it's a beautiful world. If you're a good HVAC man, if you're a good cook, if you're a good mechanic, if you're a good lawyer, be good at what you do. And I'm going to tell you can be a NASA scientist, but when your air conditioning goes out, you call the HVAC man. Elon Musk, but when your transmission goes out, you're going to go call the transmission guy to fix it. We all are supposed to elevate each other, but the Democrats have caused envy, hatred, jealousy, Black Lives Matter is all about envy, hatred, jealousy. Black Lives Matter, BLM stands for burn, loot, and murder. They care nothing about black people. They care about harming this country. They care about atheism and destroying God. And we have to stand up and tell the truth. And the reason why my books have been bestsellers all over the world, it's because I tell the truth. I'm not afraid. And you can put me into a congregation of 1,000 black people, 1,000 white people. The truth is the truth. And you can't be afraid to say it.
Vince, what message do you have for the fellow white Americans who put up Black Lives Matter signs in their front lawn and corporate America that funds Black Lives Matter? What's your message to them?
Well, I tell them that they are assisting the Marxist in grooming our children to be sexualized, to be atheists, to hate America, and to hate themselves. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at what the left and Democrat Party stands for now, that's all they stand for. Mm-hmm. They stand for hatred of God, hatred of self, hatred of America, and grooming children to be sexually used by these perverts on the left. When you look at the Democrat Party, they are only a cabal of murderers, liars, thieves, and psychopaths. There has never been a time in this country where they haven't had to find a way to legally murder its citizens. Since the beginning of this country, the Democratic Party has over 100 million American lives on its hands. From the people that they murdered in slavery, to the Americans they murdered on the battlefield during the Confederacy, during the blacks they murdered during Jim Crow, to the 63 million babies that they have killed in abortion clinics. They are the biggest group of mass murderers in the history of the world, Nazis and communists included. And these are, this is not hyperbole, this is fact. In World War II, only between 40 and 50 million people were killed worldwide. They killed that many children in abortion clinics since 1980. That's the Democrat Party.
And I understand that about 40% of all abortions are committed by black women, where they only make up about 7% of the population.
Yes, and that is because they've gotten in the ear, like the serpent, you know, when he told Eve, you won't surely die. They told these women, you know, our Bible tells us that Jesus said, if anyone causes one of these little ones to sin, it's better that a millstone be tied around his neck and to be thrown into the sea. Well, I hope these Democrats can swim, because they've been telling people for the last 40 years a lie. And that lie is that your children are nothing. You can kill them. You can flush them down the toilet. Young girl gets pregnant. She goes to the doctor. Doctors say, kill it. She goes to the NAACP. They say, kill it. She goes to the politician. Politician says, kill it. And then she goes to the preacher. And the preacher says, kill it. How are they not causing this child to sin?
It is. It's amazing.
How are they not setting up a situation where, as you know, if you go to a lawyer and he voluntarily gives you bad information, you can have him disbarred. If you go to a doctor and he gives you bad information, you can sue him for malpractice.
And he can lose his license.
These people are going to pay for what they're doing. And these young women, these young women that are suffering from it, God knows their heart, and there's room at the cross, and they can be forgiven.
Well, you know, when I heard the results of the Senate vote of this abortion bill that would have made it legal and all around the country, it wasn't just abortion itself. It was selecting the gender. So if you want a boy and you have a girl, you can snuff the baby out. And also, it was even after the baby's born. And they used the term comfort care, which means you take the baby out of the womb and put the baby aside on a nice little blanket until it dies of starvation or dies of whatever else it may have. And 49 Democrats in the Senate. And of course, initially you want to get very angry, but then you think there are 49 people that were made in the image of Jesus Christ that are going to hell unless they change. So I said, we got to pray for these people. And you see these angry people demonstrating, you know, abortion rights, we have the right, women's right to choose, and all this stuff. They're chanting, they're going crazy. And actually, if the Supreme Court does repeal Roe v. Wade, it's not going to end abortion. It may end it in some states, probably just a few, if any. It will restrict it probably more, but and they're still going ballistic. And then they start saying, we're going to go back to Jim Crow because of Roe v. Wade. And it's just ridiculous. It's just a lot of hyperbole.
Well, that's who these people are. They're nothing but liars. That's why I call my book 25 Lies. Look, they have lost the science debate. They have said that they believe in science. No, mm-hmm. they don't. Because science says, as a definition for life in science, so when something has growth, reaction to stimuli, when it has metabolism, it's alive. So they know that the baby is alive. They say that we have a right to do what we want to do when it comes to our bodies. No, you don't. There's not a state in America that allows someone to use their body to kill another human being. They say, my body, my choice. You have your choices. They act like abortion is the only form of birth control. They act like they have no self-control whatsoever. See, this is how they've messed up the minds of women. My great-grandmother had 14 children.
Wow.
My mother had 16. My grandmother had 16 children. My mother had 7. Now they told these women that having a child, like Janet Yellen said the other day, having a child is a terrible thing. You know, she said that if a poor black dad, having a child will hurt a poor black woman. So these women are hearing this, and now in my generation, I know so many women that decided to not have children, and now they're in their 50s, and they all regret it. All regret it. They're trying to take my children now, and they can't have them. No. I raised them. I spent money on them. They're going to be taking care of me when I get old. You're not going to come take my children from me because you didn't have any. So they lied to these people, and now they're suffering. And I saw a very interesting stat, and it was amazing. It said that for the last 7 years, the birth rate of the United States of America has been going down to a point where last year, our birth rate was the lowest that it has ever been in the history of this nation, and our death rate was the highest. Our nation is dying. Why wouldn't it be dying?
That's right.
If you've taken the people that are having children, right? The birthing class between the ages of 18 and 35, and you take 20% of them and tell them that they're transgender and gay.
Mm-hmm.
Our generation, only 2% said they were either gay or gay or lesbian. Now this millennial generation and this generation X, they say that the percentage is up to 20%. They told these children contended. To yeah, not get married.
I've long contended that this whole abortion argument has nothing to do with a woman's right. It has everything to do with population control and the aggressive promotion of the homosexual lifestyle, and now transgender, and now you've got, I don't know how many genders, a new gender every week, a designer gender, I suppose. That's designed to control the population. And I have to imagine that these, I could picture deep staters like Fauci sitting in the back room just laughing themselves silly over the gullibility of the average American. And, but that's why it's so important, to get voices like yours and Reverend Steve's out there, and for people to get to help support your ministry, support your efforts. I think we got a few minutes left. Where could people get a hold of you, your website? How can you get copies of your book?
My website is vinceellison.com. That's 3 E's in the middle. vinceellison.com. You can get the book on Amazon. You can get it at barnesandnoble.com. It's all over the internet. It's probably in your bookstores. This book is for Christian conservatives to read, to use as a weapon, because what the left and the Democrats are trying to do is put stumbling blocks in front of us so that we can't help our neighbors, our grandchildren, our children, and our friends. See, they're not going to get us. They know that. So what they want to do is put stumbling blocks in our way so that we can't help others. 25 Lies helps us explain our ideology. It helps us defend ourselves in the public square. It gives you a weapon to fight against these people on the left who want to call you a racist, want to call you a homophobe, want to call you intolerant. See, just because you live by standards and just because you live by the word of God, these people now want to kill you. I say, God is my protector. Mm-hmm. I fear no man on this earth. Mm-hmm. And that's what 25 Lies says.
That's great. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and we God willing, we'll have you bring you up to New England if you're available to do a speaking tour at some point down the road.
So. I would love to come up. It's good to finally see both of you in person. The day that your Supreme Court case came back 9-0, Steve called me up and told him I'm gonna pull my car open and do a Holy Ghost day.
I wish you got that on video. It went viral, you know. It would have gone viral. I wish you did a video of that. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And Revs, thank you so much. And you've been listening to the Camp Constitution Report with your host, Hal Shurtleff, and co-host, Reverend Stevie Kraft. And until next week, may God richly bless you.
Amen.
Amen.